bear hugs. That's what he gives bears. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Doc.
That's right, kid. It's time for a little fish talk. We call him the Doc. His name is Gord Peiser. He is the award-winning fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine and a whole bunch of other publications and or electronic media outlets and or public speaking and or corporate gigs and or
et cetera, et cetera.
You name it. Gordy's the guy. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ange. Hiya, Jack. Hi, Nick.
Hey, hello. Gord.
These guys are calling me old, Gordy.
I know. I was going to say, okay, boomer.
Thank you. Thank you. How are things up in the Kenora District?
Just fantastic, guys. It's
no
we
way.
Are so far above normal. I've never seen 2 weeks in January like this. We're -3, -4 during the day. And I had to get a laugh last week. I sent a couple emails out. I saw Toronto hit -15 and declared a cold emergency. And normally when we hit -15 up here, that's when we start fishing outside without a shelter. That's when we think it's warm enough. But, man, it's gone up to -3, -4. And we're into our second week, and we're going to get another week of it all the way to next. And they're saying next Friday +1 with rain.
Now, no danger in terms of ice conditions, I'm assuming?
There are not, Ange, but I would say this. They're much below. We don't have nearly the ice that we normally have. I've got a friend who looks after a couple of cottages down lake for some non-resident friends, and he found 6 inches in one spot. He was actually plowing an ice road over to the cottage and was drilling as he went, 6 inches. Now, a lot of that was because we had record rains in the fall, and then because we're the headwaters of the Winnipeg River here on Lake of the Woods, once they started closing up the dams, the lake started to rise, so the water's coming up through the holes. But Lake of the Woods is always a tricky lake, and it's one, you know, we saw what happened in Quebec there. Lake of the Woods is a lake you do not want to go off the ice roads unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Did you see that video of what happened in, I guess it was Russia, where there had to be close to 30 cars that all went in at the same time, same area?
I did see that, Ange.
Oh, my God. That was
the whole thing just dropped.
Yeah. That's, wow. Freaky.
Frightening.
All right. Talk to me about this. You got everybody in the digital world, Twitter with your whitefish blog, a recent one that you put out using a slider. Talk to us about that. First of all, what is a slider?
It's really cool. We know that whitefish, they have that overslung mouth. So we know they go along the bottom and they suck material out of the bottom. And then they put it right through their mouth and then they expel it through their gills. So they'll pick up a mouthful of mud and they'll pull out a few bugs out of that and then this big cloud of dust. And what guys have been doing, they've really refined this technique over the last, I would say 5 years, 5 to 7 years. And it's nothing more. So imagine your main line and you've got a leader on it. And the key is putting a little tiny, really subtle, a little tiny barrel swivel. But before you put the barrel swivel on, you put a number 4, number 6, even as small as a number 8 hook, an octopus hook, an egg type hook, and it free slides up and down your line. And the thing that stops it from falling off, of course, is the barrel swivel. Then you put on your leader, and your leader might be 18, 20 inches. And then you put on, if you're tapping the bottom, you might use a Meigs jig or a Bad Boys jig or a Williams spoon or anything like that. And what your bait is doing when you're pounding the bottom and creating that little dust cloud, it looks like a small bait fish feeding on the bottom. And if you put on that slider that's up top, it's sliding up and down your line, and it just looks like an insect that's whatever you bait you're using, you're pounding it into the bottom, and your slider up above it, if you bait it with, you could bait it with a live maggot or my favorite is a Mr. Twister, little 2-inch nymph style soft plastic. And when the whitefish see it, they just think, it's exposed, here's this nymph, and they run over and smash it. And there are days, Ange, 75% of the fish you catch come on the slider.
On the top. How much leader are you dropping down?
Usually about 24 inches, about 2 feet, 18 to 24, 26 inches. And again, when you pound the bottom, you create that mud cloud, and it really does excite the fish. It truly, truly, that mud cloud, as you're pounding the bottom, it just looks like another whitefish feeding. And then if the whitefish see that, they come over, and there's the bug just floating 2 feet or so above, suspended in the water. It really is a free-sliding drop shot rig.
Have you tried using this in summer conditions?
I have not, Ange, but you make a really good point.
Wow.
And you know, we should start thinking about things like that, taking them out of their element.
No kidding, because I see an application for that for sure.
Well, you were talking about that. I was thinking to a neophyte like myself, Gord, it sounds like a... you know, just like a little bit of a modification on a drop shot.
That's all it is.
And then, you know, sometimes we think that we're fishing with the, you know, when we think that we're fishing with two big baits, dropping down to a grub on that drop shot style rig or a slider would make a lot of sense.
I think it's great. I'm going to try it. I'll tell you right now. You gave me all kinds of ideas there.
You know, guys, we're allowed to use three hooks in Ontario. So, or actually, you're allowed four in Ontario.
Four.
You could have a bottom hook, could be a vibrato-type bait with two tiny trebles, and now you can actually have two sliders if you wanted. You could put two barrel swivels, just space them in 8-9 inches apart and let them free slide up and down your line. I will tell you how effective it is. My buddy Doug Stange, and Doug's head editor-in-chief at In Fisherman in the U.S., they fish Lake Michigan. Many days, they don't even bait the hook. They're using a single red hook, and the whitefish are coming over and eating the sliding hook.
I've heard of that before, actually, believe it or not. Red hooks, for some reason, are way underutilized. And you know, when you hear all these stories, we don't pay enough attention to that. But for some reason, yeah, I've heard of red hooks.
I think what the whitefish, it's just a bloodworm. So here's this little red thing floating in the water, and they just think, wow, there's an exposed bloodworm. Let me rush over and eat it.
And in terms of your line size, what are you doing with that?
You know, I like braid down to either mono or fluoro. So for me, I like using really, really thin braid, totally non-stretch. And when I say braid, I actually mean gel spun. So I'll use an 8-pound test gel spun main line, and that's 1-pound diameter. So that's right. That's down to the first, but to the barrel swivel. And then I'll put on, depending on the size of the whitefish, a 6 or an 8-pound test, either mono, or fluorocarbon leader. And the other thing I wanted to say, I was listening to you and Jack. It was so interesting about the cameras. I got a good buddy up on Lake Simcoe there, John White, and John does time on the water. He does some amazing camera work underwater. And John was telling me one of the things, and this is really interesting for guys that do use cameras, he finds it almost impossible to catch a fish if his camera is running down on the bottom. He sees them, they'll come over and they'll look in the camera, but it's almost impossible to get a bite when your camera's running.
Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, let me let you in on a little secret. When Peter and I are pre-fishing for a tournament, smallmouth bass tournament, a lot of cases, Jack mentioned earlier on, we'll drop a camera down as opposed to dropping a line down because we don't want the fish to be hurt in any way prior to the event, right? So we can catch them, every chance are better. But every once in a while, what happens, there's a, you know, we'll find a huge school of fish, and this is predominantly deep water now I'm talking about. we'll find a huge school of fish, and it's very difficult to tell what size they are. So we'll say, okay, let's catch one. Let's just catch one, and so we know whether these fish are 3.5 or fours or threes or none of the above, right?
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, we cannot catch those fish.
There's something about the camera that spooks them.
But they're not spooked because they're looking, like you just said, they're coming up and looking at the camera and they're hanging out and they definitely are not stressed out over it.
Or no, and the funny, and they don't leave. And John's found the exact same thing. But when he pulls the camera up, they bite.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Maybe it's they're so curious they're not interested in feeding anymore.
I don't know. We've asked ourselves that question a million times. How is it possible that there's, I don't know, 60 fish right now that we're looking at on this camera, and we're dropping every appetizing offering that we know to them, and they're not even looking at it?
Yep.
Bizarre. Anyways, you just, I thought it was us, but now you just confirmed it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
John, and you know, that water in Simcoe is so transparent, crystal clear. His video work is absolutely spectacular, but he scratches his head all the time and says, you know, I drop the camera down, I see them, they're swimming around, they will not hit the bait, I pull the camera out, and boom, they hit.
What he should do is spray or wipe some attractant on the fins of the around the case of the camera, not on the front part because it'll actually melt the lens. But but spray it
now
all.
Now I got
up
another idea. Maybe you should put a slider on the camera.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. What's up for the weekend, my friend?
Yeah, we're going. The trout bite has been just superb. We, you know, the teachers went on strike on Tuesday, so I had my grandson and two of his buddies, and we were out here on Lake of the Woods. We just had a spectacular day. We got 20 walleyes and a mixed bag of 20 walleyes and perch, but then we got two gorgeous, gorgeous lake trout in that 10, 12, 14-pound range, so we're probably going back for Big Lakers, hopefully this afternoon.
All right. Listen, you be safe out there, buddy.
Thank you. Have a great week, guys.
You too. Gord Pizer, OutdoorCanada.ca is where you can find him, or he writes for Ontario Tourism on all of their outdoor portals and fishing portals. Better yet, just Google them. Google the dock and see what you get. You get all kinds of goodies. Wow. That are it. Aren't you happy you got up early this morning?
I am. It was quite enjoyable.
Are you going to bed?
No, I have to go get Leo and bring him to a singing lesson.
Right. You're on
the move today.
All right. And Jack, you?
I'm going to take some time. I've been on the Fishing Canada site, signed up every time. I can never get the answer, so I'm going to beat the snot out of Labadee there and get the answer from him.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you to everybody. That's the end of the program. On behalf of the entire ODJ team, Steve Labadee behind the glass, Derek Mandeo, Jessica Ellis, our producer you heard earlier on, J.W. John Winters, my grandson Nick, Jack Summers over here. I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. Be safe. We'll talk to you next Saturday.